victory. This is tape 3 interviewing Mr. J.D. Rutledge in Seneca on August the 14th, 1990. And Mr. Rutledge, on the other tape, we were talking about the organizations that your relatives belonged to, and you were telling me about the WMWA. Okay, we were talking about WMWA, and you were saying that it was a missions group of some kind.
Yeah,
it was
right.
church-related
group.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and how did they help?
It's still in existence now. They still...
Oh, it still is.
It still is. It's still going.
Is this a Baptist group?
A Baptist, but it's any denomination.
Any denomination.
Oh,
I see. It isn't just... okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you also said that they... Oh, before we leave that group, can you remember any of the people that were in that group? Names of people?
Well, all my parents were in it, exception of my younger sister and I. We never did join it, but
mm-hmm.
most of my parents were in it. My
parents and your brothers and sisters,
yeah,
mean.
They were in it. And so my sister, she held president and secretary. Both my sisters were secretaries
mm-hmm.
of it for a long time. They paid a little dues each
mm-hmm.
month. It wasn't much they paid. About to, 10 or 15 cents or something.
Mm-hmm.
A little donation they would give each one.
I see.
Then they'd have a come together, one big gathering.
Uh-huh.
Once or twice a year, all the chapters would come together.
Uh-huh.
It was named different numbers around there. They'd all come together.
Oh.
And come to have one great little event, convention like.
Where did they meet when they all came
together?
Well,
they meet at various churches around the community.
Uh-huh. Oh, I see.
Churches.
And the different numbered groups belong to all the
all
different churches.
Would come together.
And what days of the month or how do they meet? Monthly, weekly, what?
But they met sometime weekly and monthly. Each one had its own choice of meeting time.
Oh, I see. So different groups did.
Yeah, but this main event when all would come together, it would be on a Friday and a Saturday, I think.
Uh-huh. Was that just several times a year?
About once a year.
Oh, that was a big once a year annual thing.
That's right.
Okay. So they would meet for that. What about the Masons? Were there any leaders for that you remember? Or the earlier groups, the Pythias, Knights of Pythias?
Some of the early groups of the Masons were...
You were any leaders in those groups?
That's the J.J. Blasey, and he won the Wish of Masters of the Masons.
Oh, uh-huh.
And Laura Terry, she's one of the first, I think, matrons of Eastern Star.
Oh, she was. Uh-huh.
But I don't know about the others.
Well, that's good. I wanted to know that.
Uh-huh.
How often did they meet? Was that a weekly or a monthly meeting?
Once a month. It's a monthly meeting.
Okay. Did they do anything for the community? Was there anything that they
Yes, did? They kept in community
mm-hmm.
around
mm-hmm.
in charity donations or whatever.
Mm-hmm. What about burial societies? Did anybody in your family, say, years ago belong to those or... Did you ever hear of anybody?
Yeah.
How about sewing clubs or any other groups?
No, more than these quilting. Even mother talk about.
Oh, your mother quilted. Yeah.
Talk about they had the quilting parties. They all would come together
mm-hmm.
and quilt around different homes.
Right. She did that.
Yeah,
I remember we talked about that earlier.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you know if any members of your family voted in the 19th century, back in the 1800s? Did anybody vote?
I don't know.
Do you know who the first family? First member of your family was to vote?
Mm-hmm.
You don't know if it was your father or your grandfather?
I know my father voted.
Your father
mother,
did vote,
yeah,
and your mother did
I
vote.
I do remember them voting, but
uh-huh.
back beyond that, I don't know about
you don't
the
know
other.
Who the very first one was
no,
then.
Uh-huh.
Did you ever hear them talk about voting? Or?
Well, yes, they did. You could vote, you had to recite some portion of the Constitution or be able to read it or do something. Before you was allowed to vote, and if you couldn't do that, then you could vote.
Right, you really couldn't be illiterate in order to vote.
Vote.
You had to be able to read and write.
Read and write.
Okay. Did they ever feel that was something against them, or?
Well, I don't know how the feelings were, but it was just looked like a stigma.
Right.
They had to go up against before they could
right.
vote. Regardless of whether they knew.
Of course, that cut off some white people, too.
Yeah.
And it was whites of that education.
It was just one of those things, more that you need education. It's the total win of everything.
Right. You need that to vote as well as some jobs and all
jobs
the other
and
things that went with it, right.
That's the central point.
Do you know if any of your ancestors were free before the Civil War?
I don't know.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about slavery before, and you really didn't know.
I don't know.
Well, once the war was over, do you know of any difference between black people who had been slaves and those who were free persons of color before the war? Did you ever hear any talk about that or anything to your knowledge?
No,
Okay. Did your older relatives tell you about the way white people treated blacks? Did they talk about that from their childhood or their experiences? Did you ever hear about
that? Nothing ever said too much to my knowledge.
Hmm. Did they ever warn you about white people when you came
home? No, I always have been a mixer. I mean, we always lived close by, and because I grew up in white families and what have you, so there has never been a barrier between our family, white, to my knowledge.
Mm. You were closer with white people than you think some other...
yeah, it might have been.
...than in other areas.
That is true.
That was just your situation.
Yeah, it's my situation. I don't know how it exists with others, but I've never had any fear, you know.
Uh-huh. Like Did you play with white children and do things with white children?
Yes, some of my first playmates, white children.
But you never really had a fear or dread or apprehension about them?
No, and I've been in the homes and ate, sit on the table and eaten. I've been among them.
All your life,
the hospital, among them, and it's everything, and so it hasn't been a burden to me. Now, others may have fared differently, you know.
Right, right. They may have had
But I'm just only speaking from my standpoint.
From your experience, it hasn't been a problem. It wasn't a problem.
It wasn't a problem.
Okay. So they didn't ever tell you stories to be careful or anything like that.
No.
Do you remember hearing about any lynchings when you were growing up?
Yeah, I did hear about a lynching. One was here in Warhalla, and I did hear that, and I was up some size then.
How old were you, do you remember?
I don't recall how old I was, but they did have one here in Warhalla.
Do you remember his name?
His name was Allen Green.
Mm-hmm.
He was lynched here in Warhalla.
Right. Do you remember any of the circumstances of that?
Well, they said he was drugged from so many places down to Burnsmill, I believe, in Warhalla. It used to be an old mill site there.
Mm-hmm.
And so water mill would go over and turn the water to grind the wheat and stuff. And he was hung on a limb and shot and beat up, drove from Warhalla down to that point somewhere I heard about.
So that must have been...
And that made a little fear for the people around the Warhalla area, because I live here, but it was quite a shock to the whole county, I think, and a little fearful.
I would think it was quite an upsetting incident to all of you.
Yeah, that's right.
Black and white alike, but especially to a black young man, such as a young person. You were young, you said, but still, that must have bothered you to hear about.
Yeah, so that was the only thing I can remember that brought about a fear and, you know, a different feeling.
Probably for the first time.
Right.
Oh, my. How were black people treated by the law here in Seneca when you were young, or when your parents were young? Were they treated in a bad way at all, or treated good, or what's your feeling about
that? Most of my parents, when I came up, we lived out, you know.
You were a little further out.
Further out. We wasn't right in the city for the law protection.
So you probably didn't run up against it.
Because we lived out in the rural area only.
As far as you know, was it okay, or were there problems?
Well, I don't...
Right. How about married couples in your family? How did they treat each other? Was one person the boss, or were your mother and father equal or what?
They were equal. Everything was, you know.
They pretty much talked things over and shared things?
Yes, everything together, yeah.
Your father wasn't the boss, though. But I bet he was sort of unspoken, maybe.
Maybe. It always goes back to biblical. The husband always the head of the house.
And you think it in your...
And I think maybe he might have taken that role, you know.
Uh-huh. But they really did share.
But they did agree and wasn't, you know, disagreeing on anything.
Like probably raising the children, they probably stood together.
Give them credit for that.
Right. And that's probably the problem now. We don't have
We don't have that, no. But they both were...
Your parents were very strong that way,
strong that way, yes.
Oh, that's excellent. Okay. Do you remember your older relatives ever talking about black women who had relationships with white men or anything like that?
No.
So you don't really know anything about those relationships?
No.
Okay.
Don't.
Did you hear when you were growing up, did black people treat mulattoes any differently from other blacks?
What's that?
Mulattoes.
Oh, yes, I did hear that. They had a little barrier there against black people. They felt like they was a little...
Oh, those who have lighter skin thought they were a little above.
Yeah, those mulattoes, they felt like they were a little bit higher up.
Oh, I see. And how did the other people feel about that?
Well, they felt... I just don't know, but they felt that, you know, it was trying to be what they weren't.
right, okay. Did white people treat the mulattoes any differently, do you think? Or do you remember?
Well, personally, I don't know. And then sometime I think, too, they might have got a little better privilege than...
You think they might have been?
Than black. I think the people are closer to them.
Uh-huh.
And that might still exist today to some degree. I don't know.
Right. Were you ever aware of any people who passed for whites? Did you know someone personally?
I've known, heard about it. They go north, you know.
Uh-huh.
It would be white there, and you come south, it would be black.
They come back home, and they're black again.
And I heard something else about they could get a ride in the Pullman train.
Oh, yeah.
They're riding the trains, and it says, I once said they were standing at the black coast to get a ride, and the Pullman was trying to come on down. Get in the Pullman car.
Probably check them out, thinking they were white, right?
Yeah, probably was white. They took them up while I went on the road in the Pullman.
Well, why not? I would ask. Well, if you can get a little comfort and you can pass. I don't know that I'd want to pass my whole life, but
a lot of those things have been done.
Oh, sure. I'm biased about that. Well, it's just like age, when you're trying to give a different age to get into the movies.
Yeah.
Not quite the same thing, but you know what I'm talking about. I think an occasional passing is one thing. There were some people that tried to pass their whole life.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. You said you did hear some of that
yeah.
until they got back, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. How about Indians? Did you run across any Indians or people with Indian blood?
They kind of maybe moved out during my time and come up. I've heard of the Indians or whatever, but wasn't even around here. I've seen them, but wasn't no really
not in the
reservations
not in
here.
Yeah.
That came out.
You don't know of any mixed blood Indians
no.
or anything? Okay. When you were little, how often did you go to Greenville or Anderson?
Well, I got there, I guess, two or three times a year, I guess.
Oh, you would go out?
Yeah.
Of course, you were a little...
Yeah, I would go off and I would come to Seneca and all that.
Yeah.
But after I came and moved into Seneca area, I would go that most any time because it was fine.
How about when before you were born, did your parents go there very often?
I don't know. Neither one drove, so I just couldn't say because
they didn't have the opportunity.
Yeah, they lived around.
What would they go to Anderson or Greenville for if they took a trip? Or what did you go those two or three times you went? What was the reason for going there?
Well, more or less, we go for... to trade, wanted to see the city one thing.
Oh, yeah.
And to trade, you know, buy things
buy
that we couldn't find here because we didn't have many stores in Seneca, about three or four dry goods stores. And to buy extra things that you couldn't find here, you would go to Greenville or Anderson.
Right. Did you ever go for any special event, like a parade or anything like that?
Yes, I've been to parade in Greenville.
Oh, you did when you were small?
Oh, in Anderson.
Uh-huh.
It was very interesting because they had a longer street. You could see more, and the parade was longer.
Uh-huh. What kind of a parade was it?
Christmas parade.
Oh, it was a Christmas parade.
Right.
It's
that's
the first
right.
one you remember.
Uh-huh. First one I remember.
When you were real little?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Were there any opportunities for black people there in Anderson and Greenville that, say, weren't available here in Seneca? That you know of? I mean, did people go there for work or anything?
Mm. Well, yes. Anderson and Greenwood afforded more job opportunities than Seneca.
Uh-huh.
And then it was a thick populated area, more of a black in Anderson and Greenwood than Old Corning.
Uh-huh.
But they did go to those places for job opportunities. I mean, it's a little better than what in Seneca.
Right.
But wasn't
right.
nothing in Seneca for them to do until these plants opened up big years back there. For them to get jobs. So most of them, they finished high school, they would go north or what have you. He said, good job, though. There was nothing around here to do.
They
but
just
you couldn't get in the meals. And finally, they opened the barrel, waking the meals, and so most of them stayed in after yeah.
When nice was that? Day. When did they open them?
That was back in the 60s, I believe.
Oh, not till the 60s.
And he wasn't up there in the 60s when the meals opened up. That time black could get in.
So there were a few more job opportunities.
Better job opportunities.
Right. What about celebrations? What kind of celebrations did you all hold or take part in? Did you have any parades or 4th of July holidays or anything?
4th of July, you made your own, maybe that fair. We'd go out to picnics in different houses and play ball. And
play baseball.
Baseball and cook and eat and what have you. And
you always got to cook and eat, right?
Cook and eat.
We all got to do that.
That's been one of our big hobbies.
Right, right.
So but that was the only thing I can remember, 4th of July, you go.
So they didn't have a parade or anything, just picnics.
Picnics, right.
Were there any other holidays that were important for you? How did you celebrate Christmas?
Well, Christmas, where we always would have a Christmas program at the church, somewhere gathering. And that's for the young children. And then you sing Christmas carols and whatever.
How about at home? Did you give Christmas presents to each other?
Yes, we shared Christmas presents. Hung up stockings for Santa Claus.
Did you get, you all had, your older brothers and sisters had stockings too when they were little?
That's right. And my sister always told us a story about I came alone during the Santa Claus time and I knocked them all out of Santa Claus that year because I was born Christmas Eve.
Yeah. What a disappointment. I bet they weren't nearly as happy to see you as they would have their Santa Claus goodies, right?
Everybody was just running upset. I tore up the avocado.
You were the Santa Claus gift, and they didn't want you as much as they wanted their presents.
I missed that Christmas.
I love it. You thought they'd been thrilled. They weren't.
Well, I heard them talk about that.
They probably gave you a hard time about that for years.
That's my oldest sister. She was walking through the house. She was so angry and upset. And the young sister said, I hear a baby. And she said, shut your mouth and go to sleep.
Aw.
She was already had nothing.
Oh, jeez. They got nothing at all then.
They got nothing at all that year.
Oh. All your fault. Well, before you messed it up, what did they get?
Right.
Did they get fruit or something?
Fruit and they got the winter clothes and different things.
Oh, shit.
Oh, that was one Christmas. It was kind of, and that poor Sandy.
Your mom was a little bit busy to think about Sandy that year, wasn't she?
I mean.
Oh, gee.
You'd have a big laugh over that.
I like it. So that sort of became the family story.
The family
joke.
Story, yeah.
Did you all, besides that one, did you give gifts, did they ever give gifts before then, little family gifts, or was it strictly stock, Fanny gifts?
I guess more than Sandy gift. Later on, I think they gave gifts. We had to give gifts to old and gone.
Right. How about, did you all celebrate birthdays or anniversaries in any way?
No, our birthday, we always get a lot of cakes baked for mine around Christmas time.
Oh, yeah. Well,
and we have a lot of cakes out there. My mother baked a lot of her birthday. December 2,
also,
17th.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
And mine was the 24th. So we'd all bake cakes, Christmas cake and birthday cakes, and we just have a big eating of cakes during that time.
They may have given you a hard time about that one Christmas, but you were the one that got shortchanged as the years went
yeah,
by, what
about,
right?
That's correct. 2-1.
I imagine you probably said
Christmas.
Something to them about
yeah,
that.
You
probably said to
gift.
Them, you missed one Christmas, I miss all of them. Yeah, because let's face it, you just don't get as much being born a day before Christmas.
No, that's true.
Probably been something you've had to live with all your life, right? I'll give you a present in July next time.
Okay.
Oh, gee. So they did celebrate birthdays, because some people didn't back
right.
then.
Mm-hmm.
But they had like a little cake or
something.
Yeah,
they would try to have a little cake or something for the birthday. We all have a big dinner.
Did they ever give any kind of little gifts or
well,
things that people made or not? Just more of the eating.
And
huh?
More of this just have come.
How about the anniversaries? Did you celebrate those in any way?
Not too much.
Yeah, I know your mother told me that your mother had a real big wedding. I didn't know if they celebrate the anniversary in a big way or not. Okay, when you did give a gift, well, what kind of gifts would you give each other?
But it's be something that more than inexpensive gift you buy, something mm-hmm. that's a little token that you would give
mm-hmm. Did you ever make something for each other?
Sometimes, I mean, my older sister, she could crochet and embroider and do all that little fancy way. Mm. She would make some little scarves and things and give the sisters. And,
Hot suppers. Are you familiar with those? Did your parents or grandparents ever talk about
them? I heard them talk about hot suppers, but I never attended them. It's when they tell me that's where the square dancing come out of hot suppers.
Oh, okay.
Because they would go there and square dance, and you say you go in and treat your partner, and you would get a lady in and give her a treat to something to eat.
Oh,
they would
cook.
Be cooking a fish supper or something, and they do a lot of square dancing. So that's what Montana said square dancing come from the hot suppers when they had the square dancing. The black brought square dancing to existence. I don't know, but I know a lot of square dancing did go on.
Right. How about cakewalks? Did you hear about those?
Yeah, I heard a little about cakewalks too.
You know anything about what they did? There must have been something about a cake.
Yeah, you would. We had to demonstrate in school too later years. You would walk something, a ring, I believe, and if you got caught in the ring, you would get the cake or something.
You mean walked around in a circle and the cake was in the middle or something?
And you had a certain spot you had to stop.
Uh-huh.
And then you stopped in the ring, then you went and got the cake somewhere.
Oh, okay. How about auctions? Did you all have some kind of auctions or anything?
Mm-hmm. No, I
don't. You don't know with me with
that. I just have been to one or two after I got up some size, but back my coming up, we weren't exposed to them too much.
You were raised in this area. How do you see black life in Seneca as different from, say, some of the surrounding areas, some of the other towns around? Do you think it was different or special in Seneca, or do you think it was just the same, say, as...
Well, I think the black life in Seneca has been a little different from other areas.
Uh-huh. In what way?
The relationship of black and white has been a great thing all down through the years.
Uh-huh.
As I said before, I think it due to the college we had here. The blacks weren't so maybe illiterate as most. It was a small place, and everybody tried to get a little piece of the pie, say a little education to some degree.
Right.
Some got more than others, but the people in this area believed in education from the old life history of the college.
Probably a little pride from having an institute, don't you think?
I think so. So the culture ground of Seneca has been great, and had a black doctor here.
And that's unusual for many places.
And,
Dr. Sharp,
He worked black and white.
Right.
And the relationship of the doctors, all the doctors' office and I, black and white, exists here that exists in larger places.
Right.
So I think that the relationship of Seneca among race-wise is a little bit different than most places. Even Anderson.
And certainly different from other parts of the South, from other parts of the country.
And people in the South, you talk about, that it's unbelievable to some of them to hear what go on here.
Oh, yeah.
But there's been no trouble, to my knowledge. So.
Right. Well, I know even I was raised in Norfolk, Virginia, and I found this some of the stuff that you told me astonishing.
Some of the things
about the Institute. Mm-hmm. There was
now, I think really due to the education background of the blacks that we started out here, and we all tried to, you say, have pride and lift ourselves up a little bit. Some of the things that happen in other places.
Seems as if the whites sort of respected that here, too, and went along with you.
That's right.
Because it could have been a different reaction. They could have resented your school.
Yeah, resented, but they have been very supportive, and we supported them. So, like I said, it worked both ways.
That speaks well for the town.
Yeah, it does.
Glad I moved here. I want to go back.
Do you live here in Seneca?
Yes, I do.
Where you?
Mr. Rutledge, something I didn't ask you the other day when you were talking about your mother, the midwife. Did she deliver any white babies, or did she deliver all black babies, or do you know?
I don't know, but she...
I mean, I know you said she did a lot of babies in the black community, but I just wondered if...
She nursed a lot of white... I think she did.
Uh-huh. I just wondered.
Uh-huh.
Just curious. How about your grandma?
As I come to think, yeah, she lives in White Baby.
She did?
Yeah,
okay. How about your grandma?
Well, I think she did, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're pretty sure she did.
Yeah.
Okay, I just wondered.
Yeah, I wasn't sure about that, but I think they both did.
That didn't come up, and I just thought I should ask.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, do you remember or have any recollection at all about what your mother's most prized possession might have been? Something that she really liked the most or thought of or meant the most to her. You know, it could be other than a thing. It might have been, well, I don't want to put thoughts into your head. Like, you know, some people have said they're children, but sometimes they had an article or something that they thought a whole lot of. I didn't know if you can think of anything that you think your mother might have prized or meant a whole lot to her. Sometimes you never know that.
Never know, but I think I would say her children, her family, I think, was one thing that she and Gary had high pride for, you know.
Yeah, the feeling.
To see them go on further than she did.
Uh-huh.
To further themselves in education. She believed in education. And I think her pride and joy was to see a children go on further than she did.
She probably the big supporter of the Institute and that kind of thing.
Yeah, she was.
Right. What about your dad, your father? Is any big prize possession that he had? Some particular item or a dog? Sometimes the men seem to prize animals. Dogs and horses and something. Did he have a prize possession?
They both was very inclined to the surroundings of a home, flowers.
Oh, they love their flowers.
They love their flowers. Now, he had a big flower yard, just like a vegetable garden. And he would come home out of the field at 12 o'clock and go out there and work in that garden. And another thing that he admired most was bees. He had...
Oh, he was a beekeeper.
Beekeeper. He had about 12 or more hives of bees that
Oh, my.
He would go out there and rob the bees. Of course, rob the honey from the bees.
Uh-huh.
During... 12 o'clock.
So this was a big hobby with all else he had to do. He had the time for bees.
Bees, uh-huh.
That's wonderful.
And working the garden. He was working the little flowers.
Well, he may have gotten some of that love. Wasn't it his mother and father that had the vineyard? He probably got the love of flowers and gardening
from them.
But I think it's lovely that besides having gardens to raise food, he cared enough to have flowers and that kind of something pretty.
That's true. Mm-hmm. He kept surroundings very, very, very beautiful.
What did he raise? Did he raise roses or?
Roses and dahlias and big old peonies.
Oh, peonies.
All different colors of
peonies. Peonies, yeah. Uh-huh, they're beautiful.
So he just, any other little flower, petunias and what have you. He just had a growing hand like for flowers.
Yeah, he had a real green thumb.
Green thumb, what you call it.
So he was good at gardening.
Good at gardening.
And I guess being good, he would get satisfaction.
Yeah.
Oh, and he probably enjoyed his vegetable garden too, right.
But he loved his flowers, so he just made a fence and put all of them in a little garden.
Did he really? And it fenced off and everything?
Fenced off so that they wouldn't get trampled.
What kind of fence? Like a little white picket or?
I know, it's a little wide
fence.
Wide fence, right.
But he thought enough to take the time to make that fence.
That's right.
Yeah, I bet you children were told not to touch those flowers, right?
Not to go in the flower, not to play on the flower.
Right. That was a no-no. Well, that's good. I mean, he had pride in doing something like
that.
So your mom was, she grew the children and he grew the flowers.
Right, the flowers,
That's neat. She
loved flowers, too, but we used to have the
porches. That's what you said earlier that she did.
This line of flower.
Did
every kind
you?
Of flower we have, this.
You mean like
we
buckets
had the long porches, had the buckets and boxes of flowers. Yeah. It was just glittered with flowers.
Oh.
She knew everyone. They would share flowers with the neighbors and what have it. If people come for it, they'd see her flowers.
Well, that's not, well, people with a care for that usually do take care of everything. They tend flowers. They seem to tend to everything well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to ask you two questions, and I'm going to tell you what they both are, because I think sometimes it's mixed people up when I've asked one and the other, because I'm going to ask you which adult you most admired, and I'm also going to ask you which adult you liked most.
Mm-hmm.
That's a similar, but they are different questions.
Yeah.
So, sometimes in the past, I haven't asked it that way, and I have found sometimes people have given me the wrong, then they want to change their answer to the other. So, which adult do you think when you were a child, when you were little, growing up, that you most admired?
Well, as a child would be, it'd be around Mama the most, I guess, at the time. The day'd be out waiting, what have you. But,
was there someone as you got older that you admired?
But as I got older, I saw no difference in each one. But growing up, I was more or less a mother's boy, I would say.
So you admired your mother the most when you were a child, but when you were older, who did you admire?
Well, I guess that still existed.
So the person that you admire, the adult you admire the most, your life, was your mother?
Your mother, yeah, I would say that. Mm.
Why? Why do you think you always admired your mom?
I don't know, I guess, because I said I was around her and she nursed me, and I was closer to her than it was my dad during coming up, because he was all working, and I guess she was there to take care of my little wounded souls and bumps and knocks I would get. She was there to give me aid for them. And
she probably encouraged you in your education and stuff,
too, right? Yeah, and too, she encouraged me to go on in education.
So you had this admiration for her as
That's right.
That person in your childhood that you really felt the closest to or admiration for.
That's true.
Right. Who did you like most when you were little? Is there someone you especially liked?
I liked them.
Sometimes it's the same answer. But sometimes
I saw no difference too much in the lack part.
You still like your mother was the person you liked the most?